Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Begin a new theme. I saw this in my spirit. I've got mainly two things I want to give you, two parallels of two revelations, two thoughts that work together that came kind of separately to me. But the theme, face to face, well, I'll give it to you in a few minutes, but if you look at the graphic, anybody alive long enough to have seen the movie Face Off? Travolta and Nick Cage? Well, that's what I saw in my spirit, was a man's face side by side with the face of Jesus. And so those of you that don't know, you don't have to look it up. It is a good movie, but you don't have to look it up. It's probably 30 years old, I'm not sure. Anyway, so face to face, here we go. Open your Bibles to John chapter 20. If you have your copy of God's Word, please open it up. We're going to a little reference in Genesis 2 and then in Acts 1:8 from the Amplified. John chapter 20, verse 21. This is a very powerful passage, but a lot of people don't preach about this or talk about this. This is the sending of the disciples. This is the salvation of the disciples. It says verse 21, Jesus said to them, the disciples, again, peace or shalom to you, the equivalent of shalom in the Greek. He said, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So Jesus is saying, I'm sending you in, where I could only be one place at one time. Now there's going to be a way that I can disperse my presence and power and anointing through you wherever you go. So I'm sending you just like the Father sent me. Remember, he said, I can do no good, I can do nothing unless the Father tells me, the Bible says. You know, when the parents came and found Jesus in the temple at 12 years of age, he said, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? Well, this is Jesus now saying, okay, the time has come. And by the way, this is after the resurrection, after the cross, after the resurrection, but before he ascended to heaven, okay? So just a time frame there, some context. Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I now send you, I commission you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. So he breathed on them to release the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that in a bit. Genesis 2:7 says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The word being there is also translated sometimes a living soul or a living spirit. Okay? So man was alive just like animals till God breathed. Are you getting that? God breathed into him and he became a spirit. He became a living spiritual being, a living soul. Finally, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Amplified says this. Jesus said, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Just keep that in your thoughts there, has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart today? We can't do this without you, Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without you. We can't do anything spiritual, anything in pursuit of God unless you do it, unless you do it through us, unless you unction us to do it. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and quicken us. Grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We want to know you, and we want to know what you know and see what you see. In Jesus' name, amen. So the final 3 weeks of this month, our theme is face to face. It's about intimacy with God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Intimacy with God through the person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, understanding our connection with God is one of the greatest mysteries in life. It really is. A Christian is not a person who has discovered a new religion that follows Jesus Christ as our Pope or guru. Jesus didn't come to give us a new religion. People aren't looking for religion. People are looking for life. They're looking for relationship. They're looking for meaning and fulfillment and purpose and relationship with God. And so we have to understand that our connection is not this, I bow, I cross, I do all these religious things. I wear a cross. You can wear a cross. You can not wear a cross. I know a lot of rock stars that don't have the slightest idea who God is, wear crosses. It's not about symbolism. I say it all the time here. It's not about symbolism. It's about substance. We want to know the substance of who God is. There's a missing piece. There's a missing puzzle piece within each and every one of us. And the only thing that will fill that puzzle piece is God and knowing Him more and more and more. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him more next week than I did this week. And I want to know Him this week more than I did last week. Okay? So it's something that is to grow. When Jesus told the disciples, you shall receive power in Acts chapter 1, it was clearly spelled out in the original language. It would be based on this one thing, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Okay? The Holy Spirit coming upon you. Did the hurricane take your amens away? I just want to know, you were a little quiet this morning. Anyway, you say, I was blown away. Okay, well, you know, get your breath back, okay? The Holy Spirit coming upon you. But even those words don't fully unpack what Jesus is communicating in Acts 1:8. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would indeed come upon people to temporarily empower them for acts of supernatural service. You had Samson, you know, killed thousands of men with the jawbone of a donkey because the Holy Spirit came upon him. But he wasn't even really living a holy life. Okay? So God can come upon someone for supernatural acts of service, but this was a different thing Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying He's going to come upon you and then lift. He was saying He's going to come dwell inside of you. He's going to dwell in you. He's going to dwell in you. And the fact is that, Jesus had already told him, John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. And the word know there is about intimacy. It's not know like you know a famous person you've never met before. You know who they are. It's about, that word know there is about intimacy. It's about fellowship. It's about relationship. He said, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you. This is before their salvation, and will be in you. Okay? So a lot of people want to skirt around that whole issue as believers their whole lives. Well, I believe I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, what's your evidence you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's evidence. And part of being filled with the Holy Spirit is supernatural empowerment for certain things, okay? So He said, you know Him, He dwells with you, will be in you. I saw something online the other day that this British professor was talking in a discussion about Christianity, and he said that he had talked with a Chinese wise man who had read the Quran and Confucius and Buddha and all these different things, and he read the Bible and he read the New Testament, and he said in all of his searchings, he never found any other religion in the world where the savior of the religion, the hero of the religion, came to live inside of its people. The only one to claim that is Jesus, because it's true and it's real. This, when Jesus said He will be in you, this is a description of the new birth, being born again. The Bible says, unless a man is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. That's why you can talk to somebody, you know, you can talk to somebody about Christian things, and they just kind of look at you like, huh? You know, like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, because unless they're born again, they can't even see what you see. That's why it doesn't do any good to explain the gospel. It only does good to preach the gospel. There's a difference. You can't explain it. You got to share your testimony, tell your story, and that, in a way, is preaching the good news. It's sharing what's real to you, not just something that, because people can't see what they don't see. The Mirror Bible translation says this of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is what started to light me up a few weeks ago when I was preparing for future types of studies. Listen to this. The Mirror Bible translation says, the Holy Spirit will fully engage you and empower you. In other words, and it goes on to explain this in the Mirror Bible, you will have a face-to-face encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is communicating. Not that you will have a theological understanding of the Holy Spirit. Not that you would just get some kind of little goosebump. He says, you are going, wait for the promise of the Father, because he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to come live inside of you, and you're going to have a face-to-face encounter where you become fully engaged, immersed in his power, in his presence, in his strength, in his might, in his leadership. He will fully engage you. He will immerse you in his presence from the inside out. Now you say, what's the difference, Pastor? Well, you know what? I like football. I like football in some seasons. I've been known to like football in the past. But I'll tell you this, there's a completely different experience from watching it on TV, even in 4K, with surround sound in air conditioning. It actually sounds good, doesn't it? But anyway, but it's a whole different thing if you go to a game. Right? Hey, you can be listening to your favorite song on the radio or on your phone or whatever in your car and really enjoy it. But if you go see a live concert where that group is singing it live, you want them to sing that song. You don't want them to sing something new. You want them to sing the song I'm listening to 1,000 times. Sing it again. Why? Because you're engaged in a completely different experience. That three, it's a multi-dimensional experience. And that's the reality of the same thing with the atmosphere, the presence, the engagement of the senses in either of those things. Or watching a church service online. We're glad you're watching today. But I will say, it's a completely different experience in the room. It's a better experience, right? Why? Because of the presence of God, the Shema of God. You can sense when God is moving through a camera. Thank God for the miracle of technology. In fact, I believe that the technology, all technology is designed by God to glorify him, not for the enemy's use. The enemy perverts and twists everything God does, but I believe all these things are for the glory of God and to be used for the furtherance of the gospel. But watching online is great, but participating in the worship and the word, that's part of the manifestation of God. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he says, Jesus said, I will be there. I'm there. I am in the midst of you. So he's in the midst of us now because we've gathered in his name. You can sense that online, and we're glad you're watching. It's better than not watching. But the fact is, it's a different thing in the room because of the way God manifests his presence, right? There's a certain intimacy when you're face-to-face with someone. You ever been around a close talker? We used to have a lady in the church years ago. She'd been gone for quite a while now. I won't say her name because a few of you would remember her. But But every time I'd get close to her, she'd put her arm around me and pull me in, like wham. She was a little short thing. But she would pull me in. She'd say, oh, I got to give you a hug. She'd pull me in. I felt, you know, and then she wouldn't let me go. And then I'm here, and she wants to talk to me like here, and I'm not a close talker. I get uncomfortable with close talk. Just don't. Now everybody's gonna like, oh, I don't want to talk to the pastor. No, you can talk to me. I'm just saying inappropriately close. Okay, I'm saying, you know, I'm not crazy about germs, for one thing. Okay, so let's just put it on the table here. I'm not afraid of them, but I also want to conquer them. Okay. And not subject me. So anyway, but this lady, she'd just be right here, and I'm trying to get away, but she's got a hold of me. And she was a sweet lady. She was a little old lady, and she was sweet, and she was nice. But when we compared notes as pastors, we'd all been pulled in by that tractor beam. It was like, and she'd grab you, and then she's talking to you. I'm a hugger. I am a hugger, which is kind of odd. But when I don't like germs. So I hug, but then I step away. And I want to listen to you from about here. Okay? So I love that. And some of you want to be close, and some of you have different, you know, levels of hearing and that kind of thing. And I understand. That's cool. But just don't pull us in. And this space is reserved for one woman. Okay? This space. Just so you know, is reserved for one lady for 46 years, okay? So right here, right there. That's all. And to be honest, she doesn't even get that close to me sometimes when we're talking most of the time. I don't, just because she's my wife, we don't say, hi, how you doing? How's your day? Well, fine. How's your day? No, I mean, it's just, you just learn appropriateness, you know? So I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but anyway. It is, it's funny, but it's true. But there's a certain intimacy when you're face to face with someone. Often when we pray the Lord or praise him, we look up toward heaven, and that's okay. I find myself looking up. Some people look down all the time. I'm one of those guys, when I come in, since I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit 30-something years ago, when I come into church, I'm looking through the ceiling sometimes. I'm looking up. Some people look down. That's fine. Whatever floats your boat. Whatever, you know, however you express reverence, reverential awe. But I don't feel unworthy when I come in the presence of God, because he loves me so much. Jesus did all the work. And I just receive it. So I don't have to. Some people bow because they were taught to bow because we're ashamed. No, we bow in reverence sometimes. You can bow your, you know, in reverence. But man, he's my Father. And I look up, but I realize sometimes in worship, when I'm looking up, sometimes the Holy Spirit is just like, I'm right here. I'm right here, right with you. I'm right around you. I'm not in the ceiling. You know, I'm not in something. I'm right here with you because I'm in you. The Holy Spirit is not only present in the heavens, but he's been sent to the earth as our helper. God the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of grace. And the Bible describes from the mirror, John 7:38 says this. This is how it kind of fleshes it out. In your realizing, Jesus said, that I am what the scriptures are all about, you will discover uniquely for yourself, face to face with me, that you are what I am all about, and rivers of living water will gush out of your innermost being, out of your core. He says, you face to face with me. We're face to face. If you have not had a face to face encounter with Jesus Christ, just hang on to your hat, because that will be life changing. And that's why we're to seek his face. We're to seek, not that we don't have his face, but we're to seek his face, that we would see that shining face more and more, and that we would develop a relationship where we can actually, I don't mean with your physical eyes, but you can see him with your heart, face to face. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it or a mist. Though his movements are compared to the wind, he's not the weather. Though seen descending like a dove representing peace, he's not a bird. He's not a plane. He's not even Superman. He's the third person of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to send him to dwell within us, to fellowship and make his home within the core of our beings, God with us, Jesus with us, through the Holy Spirit with us. Now, traditional Christianity often scolds us as Spirit-filled believers not to worship or praise the Holy Spirit. I've heard that a few times. We're not supposed to talk to him or praise him, but only Jesus himself. Yet their own doxology in the closing hymn I heard all growing up in the Methodist and Presbyterian churches I grew up in, they sing a closing hymn called the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, if you don't want me to praise him, why are you singing about it every Sunday? Amen. Let me just say this really very clearly. There's no competition within the Godhead. You say, well, how do we know there's a Trinity? Well, from Genesis 1, God said, let us create man in our own image. Us. Who's the us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How do we know? Because the Bible says the Father spoke. Jesus, the administrator of heaven, the administrator of the Godhead, went and he's the Word that God spoke. God spoke and Jesus came. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word, the living Word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God the Father spoke. The Son went into action, and the Spirit manifested what was going on. That's what the Bible says. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 1, 2, and 3 shows the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So people want to argue over all this. No, there's no argument. Just look for yourself. They're equally God, and they don't compete with one another. They just have a different function. They are equally part. Listen, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Different aspects of God, but he's one God. He's not three gods. He's one God in three persons. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to kind of shift gears to my other point here to finish up with this. Because in the rest of the text, I want to talk to you about catching our breath. Catching your breath. Remember, Jesus breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to me that the Greek word for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is the word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. Like we would get, some of you that work with your hands or things, you've heard of a pneumatic drill. It's a drill that's powered by compressed air. So it is pneumatic. The Bible calls the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the pneuma of God. Also interesting, and I think of this because, so just as a way of background, I grew up with severe asthma as a child. Some of my earliest memories are not being able to breathe. It's a horrible feeling. Anybody had asthma? Yeah, it's a bad feeling, isn't it? The worst feeling I've probably ever had in my life is where you're just gasping for air. You can't breathe. And as a child, that happened to me a lot. And thank God for my parents. They really helped me find a way. But I had to take all kinds of hideous medicines and stuff. And then as a teenager, wouldn't you know, somebody got me started smoking. Well, that's great for somebody who already can't breathe. And so here I was, an asthmatic smoker. And at 16, I worked at McDonald's around these big grease traps. And I went home one night, had an asthma attack, and that was the first time they had to rush me to the emergency room. I think the only time I've ever been in the emergency room, thank the Lord. In my whole life, I was 16, and between the grease, the smoking, and the asthma condition, they took me to the emergency room, and I had to get all this stuff, and it was just a mess. So when I talk about catching your breath, you know, you ever heard somebody say something, well, it's as easy as breathing. Well, there are some of us that beg to differ, because even breathing isn't as easy as breathing. And you have to fight for air sometimes. You have to fight for it. Well, what I want to say to you is that the enemy of your soul, I'll just say this, breathing is really important to me for preaching. In fact, for standing, for living, breathing is pretty important. But I'm told that my great aunt, Lucille, was the oldest of my grandfather's siblings. I think he was one of nine kids or something, 8 or 9 kids, something like that. And Aunt Lucille, when they dedicated me or christened me as a baby in Methodist Church, she held me and she said, "This is the next preacher of the family," which I did not find out till I was already in ministry, my mother told me. By the way, we just remembered that we had great Aunt Lucille, who was like a, you know, prophetic person in the family, say, this is the next preacher of the family. Well, I'm actually glad they didn't tell me when I was a teenager, because I would have been worse than I even was. But the fact is that being marked with that, the enemy also marked me to try to take my breath. And I found it interesting that, think about COVID. COVID was a man-created virus set to attack the lungs of everybody in the world. And the people that died, they died because of pneumonia, P-N-E-U. You know, once again, pneumonia, pneumatic. It was a breathing disease. The people died, mostly experienced lung alterations at a molecular level by this disease. And it reminded me of Acts 16:16, where Paul the Apostle is—they've just infiltrated a city and bringing great change. And it says, as we went to prayer, a girl possessed with a spirit of divination began to cry out with a loud voice. Well, the word divination, if you look it up, you could look it up right now online. What is the spirit of divination? What is it? What's the Greek word? The Greek word is python. Python. What kind of snake is a python? A constrictor. What does it do? It gives you a hug like that lady used to hug me. But it squeezes and gets tighter every time you breathe out and breathe in. With every breath, that thing becomes a Colombian necktie, they used to call it. You know, something to try to kill you. A constrictor snake squeezes the breath out of you, chokes you. In the text, after Jesus resurrected, but before he ascended, he commissioned the disciples, send them to be ambassadors of peace, shalom, peace, prosperity, well-being, contentment, health, and wholeness. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that Jesus wants to release the breath of God into his people to empower, to equip, to give us face-to-face relationship. But the enemy of your soul wants to squeeze the life, squeeze the breath out of you. And I believe some people in this room have been under a spiritual attack lately where the enemy's trying to take your breath, trying to take the breath out of you. You ever had the breath knocked out of you, by the way? The only time, I think I've had it maybe once or twice, but one time as a kid, I remember we had this clothesline in the backyard. We didn't have a dryer yet back in the day. And we had a clothesline and this galvanized steel pole. So I got to be where I was tall enough to jump up and swing around on this pole. Until one time I swung and lost my grip, fell straight down on my back, and it knocked the breath out of me. And I'm like, you know how that feeling is? Anybody ever get it rocked down? It's a terrible feeling. That's kind of what an asthma attack feels like for those of you who don't have that. I believe some of you have had the breath knocked out of you by life from the enemy, the pit of hell. We're going to pray for you before we go. Okay? Because this is important. Listen to this. When Jesus said this, he breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. My friends, this is the moment everything changed. Most theologians believe that this is the moment that they actually got saved, that they were with Jesus, but there was no salvation until Jesus had gone to the cross and raised from the dead. And this is the point where he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came to indwell them, but they weren't yet released in the face-to-face yet. That's why they had to wait for that. And this is what hit me. Listen to this. The word breathe on in the Greek, and I'm not usually given all this Greek and Hebrew, but I want you to get this. The word breathe on, when Jesus said, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The word breathe on in the Greek is the word emphyseo. E-M-P-H-Y-S-A-O. From which we get the words emphatic. Emphasize. Or emphysema. What is emphysema? It's a breathing disease that will kill you. My grandfather was a smoker for his lifetime, but also was a painter with aerosol and with leaded paints. He did signs and art. And when he died, he took his own life, but it was because he couldn't breathe. He had emphysema and was tired of wheezing like an animal and not being able to walk around his house. Emphyseo means to breathe. It doesn't mean breathe on. That's Jesus breathed on them. Jesus didn't say, hey, come here. In that way. The word literally means to breathe into or inflate. You don't blow on a balloon. You can, but nothing happens. You what? You blow into it. You inflate it. So you stretch it. Then you blow it up. When the breath of God gets in you, you can't help but be changed. When the breath of God gets in you, you can't help but be changed. We talked all last month about purpose and destiny, right? Jesus said to the disciples, okay, you got your purpose and destiny. Here's the empowerment to reach it. You need me to breathe into you. Just like God breathed into man and made him a living spirit in Genesis 2:7. You need the breath of God. The Bible says, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. The word receive there is the word, Greek word lebede, means to take hold right now or to actively receive. It's not about, like Pastor Chris was saying about being passive, being, you know, just, what if Dave Blackman would have said, those are the guys there from the power company. That's nice. Good. Thanks, guys. But he went down the road and saw, well, everybody else has power on. And he's the only one. They're looking at, we got parking lot lights. We must have electricity. I got news for you. We had the parking lot lights in the middle of the hurricane. We were a light in the darkness on the road for people that may have been out when they weren't supposed to be out or for the police that were out. But the fact is we need somebody to take the bull by the horns to actively receive, just to engage. Hey, why isn't our power on? You got to ask. You got to ask sometimes. My friends, this was salvation getting up close and personal. There are times God wants to just breathe into you. There's some of you right now in your life, you're being stretched. I don't know if that'll stay there or not. So you're being stretched right now in your life. Why? Because it'll blow up bigger if I can stretch it out. And sometimes God wants to blow into you. And then keep going some more. No, it's a joke. And sometimes he doesn't tie it all together. He just sends you out. Oh, right there. You win the prize, Tracy. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you don't want to touch that. But anyway, that's all right. My friends, the reality is at salvation, this was salvation getting up close and personal. This is an incredible thing. At salvation, receive the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, there's another place, another level. We need the Holy Spirit in these dangerous times more than ever. Let's not be content with a partial surrender or just a little bit of, just give me a little breath or just blow on me, God. No, we need him to inflate us. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he inflated them. He breathed into them. Think of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. When somebody's dying and you got to get down, that is face-to-face. That is a face-to-face that I don't want to ever have on either party. I don't want to be on the ground. I don't want to be on top. But face-to-face to breathe life, to breathe the life of God, we need that so much. Pastor Chris, can you bring that final balloon up here? So we got this one. There we go. Sometimes the breath of God is to launch you higher, higher dimension. I got a really long string so we can float it around the room without, I don't want to hit the lights. But understand, some of you are right in this place. You've been stretched. You've been breathed into. But you're not willing to be launched. Let God, let his life breathe into you today. I want to say, for those of you that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid of that. People get all afraid about, do I have to speak in tongues? No, you don't have to speak in tongues. You get to. You get to. You don't have to. You get to. It's part of the privilege, but you don't have to. I would say it's time to get out of our comfort zone and let God breathe into us in a way we may be not comfortable with, to send us beyond, to empower us the way he promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We sing that song when wind meets fire. And what is that? I can't breathe until you breathe on me. Is really until you breathe into me. I can't breathe till you breathe into me. It's time to build a more powerful partnership with the Holy Spirit we've ever known before. That's where it's at. That's what we need. We need a more powerful partnership than we've ever had before. We need more of him to fill more of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, your promises that are yes and amen. Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we come before you, Father, lifting up the mighty name of Jesus through the power and person of the Holy Spirit. And right now, I pray for every person hearing the sound of my voice, whether in the room or at home, wherever they are watching. And I pray for every person who has been under an assignment of suffocation spiritually. Spiritual suffocation. You've been losing oxygen. You've been losing the life force, the lifeblood, the life force of God. You feel yourself drifting from God instead of running toward him. In the name of Jesus, we come against that assignment from the pit of hell. We come against the spirit of divination trying to choke the life out of the people of God, whether new believers or whether longtime seasoned veterans. We break that assignment in the name of Jesus off of your spirit, off of your soul, and off of your body. And we lay the axe to the root working in that family tree. We break generational tendencies, generational curses and things that try to bring that from generation to generation. We break that in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like I've been one of those that's, I just feel like there's been something trying to trying to choke out my spirit. I don't mean literally. I mean just, you know, if you're losing steam, if you're losing the joy of your salvation, if you're losing something, if you're leaking, if you're just losing air, if you're losing that, what you were once inflated and now you're deflated in your faith right now, raise your hand up real high right now. I want to pray for every one of you right now. Raise your hand up real high. Keep it up. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every person whose hand is raised, every person whose heart is open, and I pray blessing, I pray strengthening, and Lord, we release today the breath of God, the wind of the Spirit, the breath of God, breathe into them, breathe into us, Holy Spirit, breathe into them. Lord, I ask you for a fresh infilling. For those who don't know the fullness of your power and your presence, we release that fullness today. Lord, let people be open as never before to say, yes, God, I want everything you have for me. I want every gift. I want everything you have. I want you. Come and breathe into me. Inflate me with your love. Inflate me with your passion. Inflate me with your faith. Inflate my life. Fill me afresh. If that's you, I pray right now that touch from heaven. Everybody just say this out loud. Everybody in the room, whether your hands are up or not, just say, Jesus, I believe you are the one who fills people, breathes into us the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you now to breathe into me, to fill me up with your air, with your oxygen, with your life. Fill me up from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Fill me up with more of your Holy Spirit and empower me to serve you in great joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You receive that word today? If you receive, put your hands together and let's praise God. I'm telling you, this is real. This is real. This is real. This is real. You need to be living and moving in a powerful life if you're a Christian. It's not just for the Holy Spirit to live in your heart. That's the beginning. That's the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's the promise of salvation. That's awesome. But there's more. If you're willing to be immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask Him. It doesn't have to be a public baptism like water baptism after second service today. It can be a very private baptism. But it is a baptism nonetheless. It is an immersion where you know that you know that you know that you know that the God of the universe is living, moving, and having his being inside of you. Amen? If you want to know more, I would just say read Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, don't have time to go into it, but Luke chapter 11 says where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer. Then he goes into ask, seek, and knock. Remember that? Ask, seek, and knock. And he makes this statement. Everyone who asks receives. To him who seeks, they will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Then he says, and if you being of a human nature, an evil nature, a sinful nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, your Father, Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's what he says, that there's more, but you have to ask, seek, and knock. Some of you prayed with me just then, and you've asked. If you didn't receive anything supernatural, go home and seek, and then knock. Because everyone who asks, receive. Are you part of everyone? Are you better than everyone? Because if you're part of everyone, he says everyone who asks and seeks and knocks receives, and the door will be opened. That's what he said. So if I take him at his word, I'm not better than everyone. I'm part of everyone. So I will receive too.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.